4 feet high or taller, and they're that wide. So to move them was enormous. Now, some of them, as they got higher, they got smaller, but not all. So to destroy the temple was huge. It was huge. And it happened. And we have up here on the screen, we have the Arch of Titus. And there he is. There's the Arch of Titus. That arch was built, completed and ready in the year 81 AD in Rome. And what is it celebrating? It's celebrating the Roman ruler, Titus, who marched into Jerusalem with his legions, Roman soldiers, and destroyed the city and destroyed the temple. That was in the year 71 AD. So it happened. Go to the next slide. And we see when they destroyed it, the soldiers carried back to Jerusalem the Jewish holy pieces, menorah, from the temple back to Jerusalem. And the next slide shows that. And that's a very much, those soldiers are very much carved out into the stone to be there. Now, the Arch of Titus has been restored. It had fallen down and been rebuilt. And the next slide goes on the other side, and there is Titus marching back into into Rome, celebrating. And then when Titus was dead by 81, and they built the Arch of Titus for his memorial. So I start with that today to say that we go back and forth on Jesus saying the temple was going to be destroyed, but it had been destroyed before the Gospels were written. So you can say, although the definite words of Jesus saying it's going to be destroyed, very well, Jesus had hope for that and discussed it in certain ways, but it actually happened then. In the year of 71 AD. And so it becomes part of life and part of the discussion about endurance. That's a big word in the New Testament. It's a big word in Scripture. What endurance do we as Christians, what do we need to be in the world today? What do we need to serve Jesus Christ in terms of endurance? And we note that the translations are pretty interesting. Some of the passages translated the Greek word, there's three Greek words used for this in the New Testament, but sometimes they get translated as endurance or endure. Sometimes patience. And sometimes standing firm. So that's pretty interesting that we would start with the King James Version of the Bible, translated the Greek word as patient. And then the Revised Standard and the New Revised Standard is what we put on the screen today, translated it endurance. And then the International Version of the Scripture, New International, it uses standing firm. So what's the difference? It's a long way from patience to standing firm. And so the other part of that is endurance, kind of in the middle of those two. But it challenges us. In Matthew 24:13, he who endures to the end will be saved. In Mark 13, the same as Matthew. He endures to the end will be saved. So how do we apply endurance to our lives this day. One of the things that became a joke for me at the West Virginia State Capitol is when I've been working there for 10 years on public social justice issues. And people would say to me, delegates and senators would say to me, they call me preacher or pastor, reverend. They'd say, Reverend, how is it that you can get on both sides of the aisle politically here, this side or that side, and every, you know, you do that so well, there's no problem with for you to talk to whatever side of the aisle. So my joke is, oh, well, that's easy. That's easy. I grew up in the church. Church knows divisions. And this is nothing compared to that. But there is some truth to that, by the way. There is some truth to that. As the church around our nation and our world has become so separated and so divided for over 100 years. And that same division, when the Revised Standard Version of the Bible was written in the 1950s, a division of the church. Now that's the Bible that the mainline churches used for a long time until the new Revised Standard Version came out. That version was declared the version of Satan. That's how divided we've been in the church. And those divisions have been very strong. Matter of fact, I lift up the stories of my pastor many times, Dr. Floyd Faust. And in our church, when we, the church in the 50s and 60s, Disciples of Christ, when I say our here, became divided and split. While the United Church of Christ was forming, the disciples were splitting and forming the Christian Independence and more Church of Christ churches. And they called my pastor, Dr. Floyd Faust, whom you all know how much I love, and he's one of my chief mentors. They called him the Antichrist. That was in Columbus, Ohio. Those kind of divisions. So how do we endure? How do we have patience? How do we find love and hope in the midst of that? Whether it's patience, whether it's endurance, or whether it's standing firm for our beliefs, even though we're divided and not united. Jesus tells us to stand firm or have endurance if we are to be saved. That's the Markan version, but the Lucan version, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Gain your lives. Endurance. It's a very popular word in the scripture, as I said. In Romans 12:20, we find a message that is very applicable about the word endurance. I'm going to use the church's New International Version today. I was speaking in Akron one day to a group of clergy in the divided community. Akron's very united among the people, but the churches were very divided when I was director of the Akron Area Association of Churches. So I went and met with the so-called evangelical clergy one day, and they asked me to speak to them about what the council or Association of Churches does. And so I lifted up Romans 12 to them. And I began here at verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and sisterly love. Honor one another above yourselves. By the way, this is page 803 if you would want to follow it and read it. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patience in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful. Do what is right and in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not, in doing this, you will heap burning coals upon him. So let me go back to this. When you go to an enemy, according to Paul's great writing, the Romans, in the end of his life, you are to treat that person very nicely. You are to smile at them. You are to love them. And when you do so, you are heaping burning coals upon their head. I shared that with the pastors in Akron. They all said, "Wow, wow, wow." We are to love and care for those even who we consider an enemy. Now that's tough. But when you do, you're heaping burning coals upon their head, and God is the one who becomes the judge, not you and not me. Our task is to endure. Our task is to be hospitable. Our task is to love strangers, as it says in Hebrews 12. Our task is to love our enemies. Our task is to be a church that will carry on in such a manner and know that there will never be all the churches joining with us and us with them. And know that in our nation there will be divisions as there are today. And we have the task of enduring with love. And may our souls be refreshed and alive. And may the Jesus doll come to our hearts, even when he's dusty. And so that we can know that we will accept God's way, God's hope, and God's love. And we will be enduring people. Amen. In your bulletin, there is the closure to the sermon is a hymn written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Does anyone here know the name and word of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? It's very fascinating that we have a hymn that comes from one of his poems. If anybody knew how to endure, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor in Germany. Yes, we have his photo, his younger years. He came to the United States to Union Seminary in New York City to study and work on his PhD, became a professor, and the Second World War broke out. He moved back to Germany. He had always taught that nonviolence and pacifism was the day, the way, and the truth. But in Germany, he made himself part of the SS for the reason to try to assassinate Hitler. The assassination failed. He was put in prison, and his years in prison at the close of the war, he managed to write poems and have them smuggled out. In just a day or so, let's see what it says on the screen. When he was in the concentration camp, he was executed on April 8th, 1945. So you all know how close that was to the end of the war. Here's his words. By gracious powers so wonderfully sheltered and confidently waiting, come what may. This is page 413, hymn 413. We know that God is with us and not with us night and morning and never fails to greet us each new day. Yet is this heart by its old foe tormented. Still evil days bring burdens hard to bear. Oh, give our frightened souls the sure salvation for which, O God, you taught us to prepare. And when this cup you give is filled up, brimming with bitter sorrow, hard to understand, we take it thankfully and without trembling out of so good and so beloved a hand. Verse 4, yet when again in this same world you give us the joy we have, the brightness of your sun, we shall remember all the days we lived through, and our whole life shall then be yours alone. Amen.